Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya.
Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya.
Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya. Namaste Tejas Tejas Avi Ravi Bhava Vajra Narka Vajra Dangsha Karma Ashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamograsa Grasa Om Svaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyashta Om Shrom Vagisha Yatsya Vadane Lakshmi Yatsya Chavakshasi Yas Yastri Hridaye Samvittang Nrsimhamaham Bhaje Shri Nrsimha, Jai Nrsimha, Jai Jai Nrsimha, Prahladesha Jaya Padlamukha Padlabrinna. Ugram Viram Mahavishnu Jolantam Sarvatomukham Nrsimham Vishanam Padram Mrityur Mrityur Namamiya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday, there was some discussion of how people in the West, if at all they think about God, they don't expect Him to be fierce. Well, He's not fierce here, but He's famous for being fierce. But actually, nasty, at least to Hiranyakashipu, bloody, gory, that word was used twice this morning by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, gory. So you might think, well, that's the name for Radharani. But gory is an English word which means blood-covered, nasty. So Nrsimhadev is like that. That's here he's sitting very peacefully, but if he is only sitting peacefully, then there wouldn't be any Nrsimha Leela. He doesn't come and say, hey, let's have a peace conference. He doesn't have a meeting with Hiranyakashipu and say, let's work things out. He worked things out in his old way. The demons get what's coming to them. But actually, he is quite popular, at least on the internet. Nrsimhadev. I saw some put together a whole several internet sites, and people use as their blogging picture the famous picture of Nrsimhadev ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces with the intestines wrapped around his neck as a nice garland that he liked very much. Jadurani painted this picture, and she recounted how Srila Prabhupada, she showed the picture to him first of all, and Prabhupada commented, more blood. So she put more blood in, she went back again to Prabhupada and he said, more blood. It's a bloody leela, plenty of blood. Actually, there's lots of blood in Krishna leela. As Srila Prabhupada said once, that if we see the number of pastimes, how much is described in Bhagavatam of Krishna dancing with the gopis, and compare it to the demon killing, there's a lot more demon killing than dancing. So, Nrsimhadev can appeal to some people in the West. Some people like it. And Krishna, that question came, a series of questions this morning. Well, how is he like? How is it like this? Doesn't seem to be very compassionate and all this, but at least in my experience in India, people don't ask questions like that. He's Nrsimhadev. That's what he does. When he's Krishna, he's Krishna. When he's Ram, he's Ram. When he's Nrsimha, he's Nrsimha. He's God, and he's doing what he likes. That's what he's all about. He is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the form of all nectarian rasas. So that's one. Killing, being nasty. Very popular form in Bengal of Devi, mother. Ma Kali. Ma means mother. And Kali is the fierce form, or one of the fierce forms. Actually, it's only, there are plenty of others also. Chinna Mushtika, she's walking around with, holding her head, which is chopped off, and so on. So she has quite a few horrible forms. Kali is very popular. There's a saying in Bengali, Jekane, what is that? Jekane Bengali, Shekane Kalibari. Means wherever there's a Bengali, there's a Kali temple. So she's also very, she's got a tongue is sticking out, her eyes are wide, and her breasts are open. And she's got a sword in her hand covered with blood, and she's killing the demons. And she's very popular in Bengal. Not that everyone worships Kali, there are many Vaishnavas also. There's a great difference between Kali and between Nrisimha. Kali appeals to persons in the mode of ignorance, who are nevertheless, as Srila Prabhupada said when he was asked about this, even the Kali worshippers in Vedic culture are in a better position, they're better situated than anyone in the West, even the Christians who very piously worship God, because they're within the Vedic culture. Even the lowest part of Vedic culture is higher than the best part of Western culture. We can tell that to some of our friends floating a new idea called, what's that called? Krishna West. So Kali is worshipped by people in the mode of ignorance, whereas Nrisimhadev, the worship of Nrisimhadev, is Vaishnav worship and Hare Krishna. I prefer if you want to take photos any other time, but here better to listen, please. Nrisimhadev is worshipped by Vaishnavas. This worship is on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, beyond the modes of material nature. Whereas the worship of Kali is channeling people's illicit desires for meat eating, wine drinking, and then the tantrics, fornication, and invoking lower spirits. Nrisimha, the worship of Nrisimha, is entirely purifying. Kali is the representative of the material energy, whereas Nrisimhadev is completely spiritual. This temple here is known as Simhachalam. Singha means lion. Chalam means... Simhachalam. Achalam means hill. So this temple is named after the ancient temple at the place which is called Simhachalam in India, the temple of Lakshmi Varaha Narasimhadev. Nrisimha is very hot, transcendentally hot. And actually on this day in India, it's hot. The summer is just beginning. Well, yeah, it's just begun. It gets hotter still, but it'll be hot. Most of India now will be plus 40 Celsius, and it goes on for another 2 months like that. So Nrisimha is very hot, and if you take darshan in that temple, you'll see what looks like a pinkish Shiva Linga. It's not Shiva Linga. What it is, he's covered in chandan, in sandalwood pulp, to keep him cool. And only once a year you can actually take darshan of the... He's completely covered. You won't see the deity at all. And once a year on... That's just a few days ago on Akshaya Tritiya, which is also the beginning of Chandan Yatra. Then that's broken and the chandan is broken. And then again, new. So one day a year you can have darshan of the deity himself directly. Many other... Some famous, some less famous temples of Nrisimhadev in India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Simhachalam. He also visited Ahobilam, which is said to be the place where Nrisimhadev had his pastimes of killing Hiranyakashipu. Of course, that took place in the heavenly planet, so we can understand that Ahobilam is a representative of that on earth. There are many such places. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also visited there, and Pana Nrisimha at Mangalagiri is another deity of Nrisimha who, however much you can feed, he likes to drink this panakam, which is to be, is that being offered now? Panakam should be offered to Nishit. It's a very cooling drink, very good for the hot summer. Maybe you have to make a heating drink for the not so hot Germany. But that's a drink made with water and gur, some kind of raw sugar, and some or mishri, and plenty of ginger and some black peppers, and he likes that very much. And however big or small you bring the container, you put half, you pour it into his mouth, or the priests do that, and then half is left. His throat will be full at half, whether you bring 1 liter or 100 liters. That's the mystery of Pana Nrisimha. And another... These are all in what's now Andhra Pradesh, which is going to get divided very soon, it seems. Another famous temple there in Andhra Pradesh near to Hyderabad is that of Yadgiri Guta. These are all self-manifested deities of Nrisimhadev. So at Yadgiri Guta also. Then further south in Tamil Nadu, at Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam is famous for Ranganatha Swami, but there's also a big Nrisimha temple there. In Kanchi, in Namakkal, self-manifested deities. At Puri, also, there's a Nrisimha temple, plus Nrisimha at the entrance as to the temple, the main entrance. In Navadvip Dham, Nrisimhapalli is there. Nrisimhadev rested on his way back to the spiritual world. He visited his dear Navadvipa Dham. He rested there after killing Hiranyakashipu, and all the demigods came to worship him there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped. He established the worship of Nrisimhadev in Navadvipa Dham. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also established the worship of Nrisimhadev at the Jogpit. And more recently, who has become very famous in that area, Nrisimhadev has appeared in a very fierce form in Mayapur Dham, at ISKCON Mayapur. And he's gradually becoming very popular with the local people. Except in the big cities in India, definitely in the smaller towns and villages, everyone who has a car or a motorcycle will have something written on it like Ma Baba Ashirvad, which means the blessings of father and mother, or Sai Kripa, the mercy of Sai Baba, or something written in Arabic, which probably the person who put it doesn't read, but it'll be showing the Muslims and invoking the mercy of Allah, or praise the Lord, which means they're Christians. And in the Mayapur area, there are not many people with cars, except the local people don't have, but the Marts have. But some of them have motorbikes, and commonly you'll see written in Bengali, Jai Nrisimhadev. So he's becoming, people know that he looks very, he has a reputation of looking very fierce, but actually being very kind. And there's a verse which Sridhar Swami, the commentator on the Bhagavatam, who is a devotee of Nrisimhadev, he composed many verses in praise of Lord Nrisimhadev, which appear throughout his commentaries. One of them, Ugro Pyanugra Evayam Svabhaktanam Rikishari Kishariva Svapultanam Manyesham Ugra Vikramaha. He states that although the lioness is extremely fearsome, we generally think of the lion as being fearsome, but apparently it's the lion's a bit of a lazy fellow. It's the lioness who goes out and does the hunting mostly. So although she's very fearsome and causes fear to others, but to her cubs, she's very kind. So similarly, although Nrisimhadev is very fierce to non-devotees, he is very kind to his devotees who can take shelter of him. So we can, I have an idea, it may not catch on very quickly, but just as there are Kali temples all over Bengal, we should establish Ugra Nrisimha temples all over Bengal and tell the Bengali, you can worship Nrisimha. Kali's worshipping him. So they have an attraction to this fierce form, so they can become attracted to Ugra Nrisimha. Ugra, this word means intense, nasty, extreme, violent. So these are all words which are conveyed by the term Ugra. And here we have a Shanta, very peaceful. He's calmed down at this stage. There's a Nrisimha temple also in Vrindavan. Although Gauriya Vaishnavas, generally, that's understood. Gauriya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, Gauriya is generally just taken as a geographical term. Means, it's like saying, it's just the same as saying Bengali Vaishnavas. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that Gauriya means a devotee of Radharani. He gave that as an esoteric meaning. Nevertheless, Gauriyas worship Nrisimhadev. We can worship any form of the Lord. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling South India, he also stopped at the Kurma temple. He also himself, on occasion, took the form of Varaha Dev. He showed a six-arm form with his arms as Rama. So it's not that other forms of the Lord are rejected from Gauriya Vaishnav worship, but especially worship Radha Krishna. But the worship of Nrisimha, more than we than other forms of the Lord other than Krishna, has a special place in Gauriya Vaishnava theology and practice. And Nrisimha in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is all the temples which I mentioned in Hobilam, Simhachalam, Yadgiri Guta, Pana Nrisimha, Sri Rangam, Namakal, not Puri, but in all those places they're all worshipped by Sri Vaishnavas, and they recognize in Sri Vaishnava theology or Siddhanta, they recognize Krishna, Rama, and Nrisimha. All these three are full forms, Purna avatar. They show all the opulences of the Lord. Of course, our Siddhanta is that Krishna alone is Purna Paripurna, the full manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Anyway, we worship Nrisimha Dev for protection. The chanting of these prayers, Namaste Narasimhaya, etc., that was introduced into ISKCON by Srila Prabhupada when he was enacting the pastime of being very sick in the early days of his movement, 1967, I believe. And devotees were asking, what can we do? And Srila Prabhupada said, you pray to Nrisimha Dev. And he taught these prayers. And in the first songbook published within ISKCON, these prayers are subtitled, that prayers for the protection of the spiritual master. So that was the idea. And Shachinanda Maharaj said in his class this morning that Nrisimha is not, we always had this idea that Nrisimha is meant for ripping the demons, but now we better understand that ripping the demons in our own heart. But ripping, that was standard in the days when we used to have a lot more intimate interactions with demons than we presently have. In fact, it was just almost expected when you go on Harinam Sankirtan, which we also used to do a lot more, that it's almost expected that we'd have some intimate dealings with demons, either in police uniform or otherwise. And the standard response was to chant the names of Nrisimha Dev and blow the conch, and the which also demons don't like. And it was quite noticeable how this would bewilder the demons and strike fear in their hearts. So we worship Nrisimha Dev for protection and to help us to be rid of anartas. We pray to Nrisimha Dev, just as you ripped the demon Hiranyakashipu to pieces, so you please rip all the demon-like desires in our hearts to pieces. What isn't very well known is that we can also pray to Nrisimha Dev for Krishna Prema. He awards Krishna Prema. Bhaktivinoda Thakur states this in his Navadvipa Bhava Tarangini, that if we beg Nrisimha Dev, this is in relation to the Nrisimha Pali narration, that area of Navadvipa Dham where Nrisimha Dev has resided for eons, that by begging for his mercy without any duplicity, then we can attain Krishna Prem. So Nrisimha Dev, he also, in Navadvip Dham, in his manifestation in Navadvip Dham, he also facilitates the bestowal of Krishna Prem. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took or became absorbed in the aspect of Narasimhadev. When he visited the house of Srivas, he asked, or he told Srivas, "Now you chant Vishnu Sahasranama," which in those days and up till fairly recently, everyone, every Brahmin, it's just something you know. Just like someone knows their cell phone number. So every Brahmin is expected to chant daily Vishnu Sahasranama. So Srivas, on the order of Nimai, that time he wasn't known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, he started chanting Vishnu Sahasranama early, just practically in the beginning, was in the third verse or something of Vishnu Sahasranama comes the name Narasimha Vapu. He was the form of a man and a lion. On hearing this, Nimai became imbued with the feelings of Narasimhadev, and he ran out in the street with fear. I mean, he is Narasimha, so when he takes on that mood, he ran into the street and saying, "Now I'm going to kill all the Yavanas," which in Bengali it means Muslims. So there was some tension in the air. So all the people, when they saw him, they ran away in fear. Perceiving this, Nimai came back and he came out of his avish, his mood of Narasimha. He came back and to Srivas, his house, and said, "Oh, that wasn't very good." Nimai said, "It's sinful to cause fear to people." And Srivas said, "No, it's very good. Whoever saw you in that aspect must be fully liberated." What else? Then, when traveling throughout South India, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Narasimha temples. I mentioned a few of them, but there are so many which are not mentioned. During Kirtan, one time, Advaita Acharya's one darling son, Gopal, during the Kirtan, he fainted, but he didn't just faint, he died. So Advaita's immediate response was to chant the Narasimha mantra. So Narasimha is invoked for protection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while instructing Sanatan Goswami on the contents of a book of behavior for Gauriya Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consciously started the Gauriya Sampradaya. He instructed Sanatan all the details of how Vaishnavas, in followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should live, including daily practices, nitya karmas, naimittik karma. Naimittik means time to time. So one of those, celebrating festivals comes under naimittik. Of course, this is not karma in the sense of smartas, but he instructed to observe Narasimha Chaturdashi. So this is a Gauriya Vaishnava festival. On the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should observe this festival. Among Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very greatest devotees, who was able by his meditation to carry Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Puri to Bengal, his name was Pradyumna Brahmachari. He was a great devotee of Narasimhadev. He worshipped Narasimhadev. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his name from Pradyumna Brahmachari to Narasimhananda Brahmachari. He didn't tell him, "Stop worshipping Narasimha. You should worship Radha Krishna." And daily when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing at Puri, daily he would enter the temple of Jagannath And although there is close to there another major temple of Nrisimha, but we don't have information that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited there daily, but as he entered the temple of Jagannath, on one side there is a temple of Nrisimha, so there daily Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would recite prayers from the Nrisimha Purana. Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlada Hlada Daini Hiranyakashipurvakshashila Kankana Kalaya Ito Nrisimhav Parato Nrisimho Yato Yato Yami Tato Nrisimhaha Bahya Nrisimho Hridaye Nrisimho Nrisimham Adim Sharanang Prabhade. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stop at that temple and offer prayers. There, I haven't been inside the Jagannath temple in Puri for reasons which you can all understand. But apparently there are many sub-temples or shrines. We don't have any information of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopping at any of them except at the Nrisimha temple. Nrisimha is also mentioned in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, that there was a fisherman fishing at night off the coast. It's still going on today. It's part of Puri's culture, not the part that we're interested in. Fishing, it's on the sea. So a fisherman was out fishing at night, and suddenly he felt his net becoming very heavy, and he thought he's got a big catch this time. He pulled it up, and he saw some, what he took to be some huge ghostly-like figure, and he became very afraid, and he chanted. What had happened, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had, wandering with his intimate devotees on the bank of the sea at night, suddenly he took the sea to be the Yamuna and jumped in the sea, and then he wasn't seen. He'd run out. Sometimes he'd run out, and then he went in the sea, and his disciples were looking for him here and there. And then, as they were wandering, they were looking, where is he? They were wandering along the shore. They wandered all the way up near to Konark, which is quite a distance from Puri. And there they saw a fisherman, and he looked very afraid. And so Swarup Damodara was also always very prescient. He could understand things, what was going on. He asked the fisherman, what's wrong? He said, well, I caught a ghost in my net. And he was talking all bewildered. He couldn't say. So Swarup Damodara told him, I'm an Oja. It means I can exorcise ghosts. So Swarup said a few things in Sanskrit, slapped him three times, and said, okay, now the ghost is gone. So then the fisherman calmed down, and he told to Swarup and the devotees with him that he had been fishing at night, and he'd caught this huge figure in his net. And generally when I'm fishing at night, I chant Nrisimha mantras to keep the ghosts away. So when I saw this ghost in my net, I chanted the Nrisimha mantra, but my feelings of fear increased. The more I chanted, they increased more and more. So then Swarup could understand, oh, that must be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, he said, it can't be. I've seen him many times going to the temple, but that's not him. His whole body is all, his limbs are all disconnected. And anyway, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point is there that he would chant the Nrisimha mantra for protection from ghosts. The common fisherman was doing that also. Often on this day there are dramas. It's a popular drama, isn't it? And so this was one time disciples of Srila Prabhupada enacted this Nrsimha pastime in Prabhupada's presence, and he was very pleased with that, and he said, Hiranyakashipu has played his part very well. It always seems to be easier to play the part of Hiranyakashipu, the demon part. So, when we are, the drama brings it to life, and we feel the happiness when Hiranyakashipu is ripped to pieces, but we know it's going to happen. But we can just imagine what it was like being there at that time. Certainly, the whole atmosphere was dominated. In the palace of Hiranyakashipu and throughout the universe, the whole universe was dominated by the presence of Hiranyakashipu. We can just imagine what it was like in Nazi Germany. The whole of the country was permeated by the influence of Hitler, and if you were in his presence, it must have been a very powerful, no doubt a very powerful personality. And to be in his presence, you know, you got to be very careful. You don't tell him you're eating too much or something like that. So he couldn't just throw you out of your house, he could throw you right out of your body. So, we can just imagine that Hitler, then undoubtedly the figure who caught the popular imagination in the 20th century more than any other, probably the best known figure of the 20th century, at least in the Western world. But we can just imagine Hiranyakashipu was like Hitler raised to the power of infinity or something. His influence was there all over the universe, and it must have been, for those who are with him, it was great. But of course, you can never be sure when you're with a dictator, and you can be with him, and then you can fall out of favor and be shot dead. So it's always it's a very tense situation. And what to speak of the people who he didn't like? We can't imagine how much fear of course we hear about the Jews, but there were others also who were targeted, and the demigods under Hiranyakashipu must have been like that also, just living in intense fear, which permeated the whole universe. They didn't want to be found out anywhere. So this Hiranyakashipu, he created an atmosphere himself, extremely arrogant, and taking pleasure. His main pleasure was in giving pain to others. So into the scene comes Prahlad, Prahlad means happy. That name was given to him by Hiranyakashipu, but he thought that Prahlad would be happy in the same way that Prahlad would be happy in terrorizing others. The original terrorist, Hiranyakashipu. He later became the prototype child abuser. We don't hear about that kind of child abuse, but Hiranyakashipu, he was a terrible person, and Prahlad was just, he didn't care at all. Everyone was afraid. Big, powerful demigods and big, powerful demons, they're all afraid. Prahlad, he didn't give a damn about Hiranyakashipu, which irked him like anything. He was so upset with Prahlad, but Prahlad, by not being upset Hiranyakashipu more and more and more. And Hiranyakashipu, first, Maybe you said, no, I'm going to kill you. Maybe you were just saying that as a threat in the beginning. But seeing Prahlad not even bothering to listen to what he's saying, he just, whatever he said, it doesn't matter at all. Then Hiranyakashipu became more, and he actually went to kill him. But, and Prahlad just couldn't be bothered, you know, he's throwing me under some elephants and poisonous snakes. He just couldn't be bothered, not in the slightest bit concerned. So, yeah, inimitable. And then unimagined, the appearance of Nrisimhadev, now in the past, it's now in the past to us, and we can, yes, Nrisimhadev came, but at the time it was just absolutely unimaginable. Just, who could have thought? Presumably there must be in Shastra some prediction and this and that, but we find that even Lakshmi, she didn't recognize Nrisimha, and that's described by the Leela Shakti of the Lord. She was covered, so she didn't even recognize that Nrisimha is my husband, and she was also feeling some fear, not recognizing him. So this Adbhuta Rasa, which is the basis of all rasas, that was along with Bhayanak Rasa and Bibhatsa, the Adbhuta means a sense of wonder, that is the underlying principle of all rasas. Then Bhayanaka, that sense of fear, well, that was not in the Lord and not in Prahlad, but it was certainly experienced by everyone else. And Bibhatsa, something like terrible, something horrible or disgusting. So Nrisimhadev, these intense feelings were generated in everybody present by the appearance of Nrisimhadev. And even after, one thing we heard about the prolonged fight, but even after fighting with Hiranyakashipu, it's explained briefly in Bhagavatam, but Nrisimhadev didn't finish with Hiranyakashipu. There were all his armies and great demons, and Nrisimhadev killed them all too, so that must have taken some time. But still he was angry, very angry. So the demigods are afraid that if he's still angry, he might... You know, when someone's angry, they lose all sense of discrimination. So they're afraid that, well, he might do it to us too. So Nrisimhadev, he created fear and wonder, and Hiranyakashipu was frightening, but Nrisimhadev was... They couldn't imagine anyone more fearful than Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu also couldn't imagine anyone more fearful. But Nrisimha came to show that, after all, he is God, and fearfulness, he can create that more than Hiranyakashipu also. So this Prahlad, he wasn't afraid. He knew that Nrisimha was coming in advance. He could very confidently say, the Lord is in the pillar, not just as a theoretical philosophical principle. He knew the background of Prahlad. After Prahlad had offered prayers to Nrisimha, he asked Nrisimhadeva, that how could I, being born in this family of demons, how could I have bhakti for you to this extent? So Nrisimhadeva explained that in a previous life, Prahlad, he had been born in a Brahmana family, but he wasn't a very good Brahmana. he had a girlfriend. Brahmanas aren't supposed to have girlfriends. It's a very bad thing. Illicit sex, sexual interaction, or even social interaction outside of marriage. So, boyfriend girlfriend activities, unlike today, are socially reprehensible. So, he and his girlfriend arranged to meet in the forest. The forest is the resort of not only of yogis but also of lovers, traditionally. Lovers who don't want to be discovered. So they met in the forest just at evening time. But the history of the world is the same then as now. They had an argument. She left him, and he left. He was left, and then he felt some sense of renunciation. I'm not going to go back, and I'm not going to go chasing after her. And he was very upset, and nightfall was coming, and he saw in the forest some old abandoned building. So he sat in that throughout the night, and he didn't sleep because he was so upset. And it happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdashi, and that happened to be an abandoned Nrisimha temple. So because he stayed up all night fasting in a Nrisimha temple on Nrisimha Chaturdashi, he got the chance to become Prahlad. That's the story given. That was also asked, how could, in the class this morning, that how if Hiranyakashipu was away for thousands of years doing austerities, that Prahlad was only a 5-year-old boy. So some explanation was given that it could be on different time scales. There is also a narration that while Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, Narad Muni and Parvat Muni, Narad Muni is always doing something to stir things up. So they went in the form of birds and they perched in a tree near to where Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities. And they started chirping, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayana. And Hiranyakashipu was completely disgusted. I came here to perform austerities, and these birds are chanting the name of Narayana. How horrible. So he shot an arrow at them, and then his austerities were all disturbed, and his mind was all disturbed. So he went home and visited his wife, and as they were lovemaking, he recounted this story to her, this anecdote to her, that my meditation is disturbed by hearing this horrible sound of Om Namo Narayanaya. And just as he was talking about this, and then he impregnated her while thinking of Narayana. So that's another reason why Prahlad came in the womb of Kayadhu. So that might have been 5 years or before. Apart from the disparity in time in different places in the universe, so he took a break in the middle of his austerities. He had a, just like sometimes people in prison, they're allowed a visit from their wife, so they have a little bit of break from being in prison, from the rigors of prison life. Prahlad knew that Nrisimha would appear before he appeared. One time in the endeavor to kill Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was trying all kinds of different ways to kill him. So one time he had Prahlad tied up with the Nagapasha, the snakes who by mantra they become like ropes, and you might be able to escape from being tied by string or ropes, but you can't escape from Nagapasha unless you know the mantras. So he was tied up by the Nagapasha and he was thrown in the ocean and left to drown. Of course, the god of the ocean, Varuna, is a great devotee, and Garuda is also a great devotee. So Garuda, being sent by Narayana, came, and when Garuda comes, the snakes, they don't wait for any mantra. They run away. So the snakes ran away. Maybe a few of them got eaten by Garuda also. He's a great devotee of the Lord. He's not a vegetarian. It's not recommended for everyone. And Varuna delivered Prahlad. And at that time, Vishnu appeared and said that, okay, I know you're getting tortured, but just wait a little longer. I'll come in the form of Nrsimha and deliver you. So we can also aspire to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad. Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture, he emphasized this point several times, that we should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. So the demigods, they were afraid to, demigods, siddhas, rishis, they were afraid, Brahma, they were afraid to approach Nrsimhadev. But Prahlad, he wasn't. Prahlad could approach Nrsimha. He had no cause for fear. He was fully confident. First of all, he didn't have a stockpile of private material desires. And he was fully confident that Nrsimha is my best friend. So that full confidence in Krishna, that we can aspire for. Sannyasis within Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, I can speak for myself, and I'm pretty sure it's true for others also, and for any others in positions of spiritual leadership. They are regularly approached by devotees and others maybe also, who come to tell you about their problems. And many people have many problems. But we can always tell them that, well, you don't have problems on the level of Prahlad. Whatever problems you have, they are insignificant in relationship to Prahlad. But even though his problems are much greater than whatever problems you may have, he had full faith, full confidence that Krishna is protecting me, and whatever bad things may happen, that ultimately Krishna will deliver me. So we can pray to Prahlad for that simple faith, that Krishna is looking after me. Whatever happens, it will happen, it will come. Agama payeno anitya. It comes and goes, it's temporary. Therefore, we just tolerate being confident of Krishna's protection. A narration from Brihad Bhagavatamrita with commentary. Prahlad Maharaj once went to the Naimisha forest to have darshan of Narayana, who is known as Pitavas, the Lord in yellow dress. While on the road, he satisfied the Lord by fighting with him. And the Lord told him, I am always conquered by you. So this is narrated in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and in the commentary, which is also given by Sanatan Goswami. He recounts this anecdote, which appears in the Vamana Purana and in other shastras, that once Prahlad went to Naimisharanya, where resides the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Pitavas, the one with yellow dress. While he was traveling on the road, he met a strange-looking person. He was dressed like a renunciant, but at the same time he carried a bow and arrows. So a renunciant is supposed to be a brahmana generally, and or even if he's a kshatriya, he doesn't keep bows and arrows. It's you're either a renunciant or you're a warrior, but you can't be both. So Prahlad assumed from this that he must be some kind of, he's some hypocrite. He's not acting according to his swadharma. You have to follow swadharma, either as brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, or stri, or woman. One has to follow the particular rules of one's position. So he was mixing up the symbols of a renunciant and of a kshatriya, or a bow and, yeah, a kshatriya's bow and arrows. That's different from a hunter's bow and arrows. So Prahlad was ready to punish him for being bogus. Yeah, you have to, kshatriya, that's the, one of their jobs is to see that people follow their swadharma. So Prahlad said, now I shall conquer you, I shall defeat you. But this, although Prahlad was empowered by the Supreme Lord, he's also mentioned in Gita as a representative of Krishna. He couldn't conquer this renunciant or whatever he was. And it went on, he went on fighting several days, but he couldn't conquer this whatever it was, renunciant or warrior or hypocrite. So, early one morning before resuming the battle, when it means he fought for several days, means civilized people do things in civilized ways. I was trying to say something about that at the beginning of the class, but it didn't go down very well. Just like in a fight, you fight in the daytime and you don't fight at night. There was one night battle in the Mahabharata war, but otherwise they'd fight in the day. So before, just as in the Mahabharata war, they wouldn't start immediately at the crack of dawn. They'd worship their deities and do some puja and everything before they'd start. So Prahlad was worshipping his deity before going back to the fight. When he saw this renunciant or hypocrite or whatever he was standing nearby, wearing the garland which he just put on the deity. He looked, it's not on the deity, it's on him. How'd he get there? Then he realized that this strange person that he was fighting with, who he'd vowed to punish, was Narayana, Pitavas. So he offered prayers to him, tried to satisfy him, and the Lord touched him, touched Prahlad with his lotus hand, and Prahlad became free from all the fatigue of fighting. Can you imagine fighting for days and days, even if you're a kshatriya? It's very tiring. And from all the anxiety, he was in anxiety. How come I can't defeat him? He's just, how is this? He didn't expect that some weird guy, he thought he could defeat him very easily. So he's in anxiety. If he can't defeat him, then his vow is broken, and his role as a Kshatriya is also defeated, because it's the duty, the Kshatriya king, if he can't subdue irreligious elements within his domain, then he's no longer fit to be the king, which means that he's not fit to represent Bhagavan in his role as a Kshatriya. It's his service, so he's full of anxiety. So Narayana relieved him of that. Then Prahlad asked Narayana, Pita Vas, that I made a promise to defeat you. As a Kshatriya, I have to fulfill my promise. So what can I do? Because you're the Supreme Lord. Now I realize that there was never any question of defeating you. So the Lord, being fully satisfied by the fighting spirit of Prahlad, told him that, Prahlad, I'm always defeated by you. Ye prayaso jitajitopi apitaistri lokyam. That who dedicates themselves, mind, body, and words, in the service of Krishna and goes on hearing about him, they conquer him, who is otherwise known as Ajit, undefeated, undefeatable, but he's defeated by bhakti. So, Prahlad, he caused Nrsimha to personally appear. So in this sense, we can understand that Prahlad is more than Nrsimha, because Nrsimha came to serve him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stated that in the Satya Yuga, more than Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu established the principles of religion. He did more for establishing the truth. How is that? Well, the whole essay goes on to describe how the Gaudiya Math, by going against the current of the world, it's bringing out the truth in a manner which appears to be very aggressive and unpalatable. So Hiranyakashipu, I'm extrapolating here because it's not directly explained in that essay, but Hiranyakashipu was he was what every demon wanted to be. Well, everyone in this material world, apart from the few pious people who really want to be Vaishnavas, he was it. He was in charge of the universe. He had all facilities for sense gratification at his fingertips. All the women he wanted, all the wine he wanted. He had defied God. And as we heard this morning, he even planned to upset the natural order of the universe. He had become God, at least in his own estimation, and in the estimation of everyone else. But then, being such a demon, he in that sense caused, although the Lord appears by him, there's nothing that can cause him to appear, but he provoked Nrsimhadev, who appeared and demonstrated who is the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead. By being an enemy of truth, Nrsimha threw into contrast what is the actual truth. And when the actual truth appeared as Nrsimha, it became clear who is the actual truth. Just like we say that Shankaracharya has done great service for Vaishnavism. You may say, well, we're always opposing him. Yes. Shankara systemized all the demoniac ideas that people, sophisticated pseudo-transcendentalists, have And it's not just something that was there at the time of Shankara, just like Hiranyakashipu's demoniac spirit was not something just at that time. It's always there. It's always there in human society. Shankara's Kevaladvaitavad, it's nothing new. It's always there. It's going to be there in every day of Brahma, every creation, every universe. So Shankara articulated that and gave a platform for the Vaishnavas to come in and punch him, smash his nonsense philosophy, and establish that Narayan is supreme. So the demons have their job to do also. Of course, we're praying to Prahlad, not to Hiranyakashipu. But he had some service to do also. Hare Krishna. Jai Prahlad Narasimhadev. He's appeared here. He has some purpose. We pray to Narasimha to protect this movement. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, this movement cannot be destroyed from outside. It can only be destroyed from inside. So, just as we pray to Nrisimhadev for purification from all the anarthas within our hearts, which we may feel are impossible to rip out, but Nrisimhadev can very easily rip them out. Just like Hiranyakashipu, it was impossible to kill him, but Nrisimha very easily killed him. So in the same way, we may pray to Nrisimhadev to protect this movement, and that various anarthas that may be manifest within it, which we may find is very difficult to uproot them, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted in one essay, and as actually as all scholars of religion note, it is par for the course. It's normal that when a religion begins, after some time, usually quite soon after the Mahasamadhi or the passing or disappearance of the leader, that the original purpose gets corrupted and various corrupt elements enter. So we may pray to Nrisimhadev to protect us, to keep this movement pure and alive and not go the way of so many other institutions, including, according to Srila Prabhupada, even the institution which his own spiritual master set up. So even if the founder is great Mahabhagavat, certainly on the level of Prahlad Maharaj, and the intention is completely pure, this material world is so corrupt that even in the best of movements, wrong elements can enter and mislead. So we pray to Nrisimhadev to uproot the anarthas from our hearts, individually and collectively, so that we can all attain Krishna Prem, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught us to pray to Nrisimhadev in this way. So my time was given up to 6 o'clock. What's next program? Anyone know? I see. He's still here. So, questions, comments, anything? Yeah.
The narration of Prahlad being next in previous life, Brahmana not behaving so good. It suggests that Nrisimha Chaturdashi was observed already and Nrisimha Lila happened?
Yeah, why not?
That means that that was the same Prahlad, or it's possible that this is also a post like Indra, that Prahlad can be different?
Not exactly a post like Indra. Also, often, at least in India, people say that, come and say, well, Ram came before Krishna. But I often cite, in this regard, they want to say Ram is superior, because Ram came first, Krishna came later. But I often cite that Krishna was worshipped by Prahlad. We heard this morning that, what is that? Krishna graha grihitatma. And Matiyana Krishne Paratasvatova. He was worshipping Krishna. So, knowledge of Krishna was there, worship of Krishna was there before Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki. So, knowledge of Nrsimha was also there. Knowledge of Kalki is there, he hasn't appeared yet. So, exactly which lila he took or how he manifested that, I don't have information. It's an interesting point. We can put it on our list of points to research. Point number 27 zillion and so on. It's, as you read more and learn more, you find out there are more things to be learned. So many things on so many subjects. So you want to research that? Give you a research job. It's easier. The best way to research, I found out, is don't look in books. Go and find someone who spent their whole life looking in books. And they're more likely to tell you. So, Slovenia is probably not the best place. India is better for that. There are pundits here and there who study Shastra all their life. And they know many things. And even if they don't know the answer, they can suggest to you someone else who's likely to know the answer. Or maybe you won't know. Good pundit, if he doesn't know, he'll just say, I don't know. And that's all. I don't know the answer to this one. Good question. You stump me. Stump the Swami. Prahlad himself, we can understand, was a very great personality. That Upabarhana, he's also that role as a Gandharva. No, I'm getting mixed up. Anyway, we can understand that he had some more background than this. Otherwise, we stay up all night. That question came up about breaking the fast, but actually the real thing is you're supposed to break fast the next morning. That's what you're really supposed to do. That's according to Gauriya Vaishnava and any Vaishnava Shastra. All these days, Gaur Purnima and Janmashtami. So we don't get exactly that same result. As Prahlad, it might happen, but you're not so. We don't expect that we'll get a position exactly like that of Prahlad. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that different acharyas say about Prahlad. Some say that he's sadhana siddha, some say that he's kripa siddha, and some say that he's mixed sadhana siddha and kripa siddha. What about Nitya Siddha? They didn't say that. So there are various narrations like this. Sometimes we see Narad appears to... Yeah, Narad became... That was Upabahan, that was Narad. He was born as the son of a Shudra. But that doesn't take away from his extraordinary status. That he may go through some period like that. So obviously Prahlad is some extraordinary status of devotee. It may be just like Arjuna comes with Krishna. Prahlad comes with... Arjuna You see, Prahlad in previous life, he was bewildered. Arjuna was also bewildered. Talking like a fool, Krishna said. So that may happen. Anything else?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to like to hear specifically these two stories from Bhagavad.
Right, that's a good point. Chaitanya Bhagavat states that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam recited by Gadadha Pandit, and particularly the narrations of Dhruva and Prahlad. Interesting. And Prahlad means Nrsimha. If you're hearing about Prahlad, you have to hear about Nrsimha. So if nothing else to say just now, then we can start the kirtan.
Yes, thank you. It said that the demigods, they were afraid of Lord Nrsimha, the same thing in their form. So even the Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, normally they know the past, present, and future. So
Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also became afraid. Why is that? Well, that's mentioned about Lakshmi, who's the one who you'd least expect to become afraid, that by the Leela Shakti, she became forgetful. Leela Shakti means who arranges the pastimes to be very pleasing. So if all the demigods said, "Oh yeah, that's Nrsimha. Haribol, nice to see you," then that fearfulness that they experienced and fearsomeness that he manifested, that intensity wouldn't be there. Ah, it's the temple president! Ah! He's smiling. Okay. I just forgot it was the temple president. I was overcome by fear. He might rip me to pieces.
On the contrary, we will be swinging the Lord now, and we can start with kirtan. Maybe Bhakti Balma can start with
kirtan. I have one quotation. Can I give one quotation?
Yeah, they give the mic.
Related to Prahlad Maharaj's status, what kind of siddha? There's one quotation here in Srila Prabhupada's purport in the seventh canto where it is stated that a perfect example is Prahlad Maharaj, who was a nitya siddha.
Oh, I got that quote wrong.
Bhagavata devotee. So that's one quotation. Srila Prabhupada writes, he's a nitya siddha, Mahabharata.
Did you get that other one where there are different, Vishwanath is quoted as saying he's a kripa siddha? Is it in the same purport?
I don't know whether it's the same.
Yeah.
I can check quickly.
Not there, yeah.